Hello, and thank you for joining me, Russell Brand, for Football is Nice. Joining me is Gareth Roy. Today we will be talking about global football issues and how football could be a vehicle to save the world if only we'd let it. Surely you're aware that Lionel Messi has gone to David Beckham's Inter Miami. He went shopping. I don't even think it was that nice of a supermarket. There he is, shopping. He's got bought himself some unusual stuff. He's got some quiches in there. He's got some silk sort of milk product. He's got a family size.
That cereal?
Does Lionel Messi...
I can't imagine. Kids.
Do his own shopping.
Kids.
Because he's an elite athlete. He can't just eat carbs like that, can he?
Look at you, looking on that. All jealous. What, like, you could eat that stuff.
I'd love that stuff. I'd love that big basket of crap Lionel Messi's getting. And look at it, but, and contrast it with the celebratory welcoming ceremony. And let us know, do you think this is a PR picture or is this how Lionel Messi lives? Let's have a look at the sort of promo in Inter Miami's extraordinary stadium.
I would like to introduce to you your number 10, Inter Miami number 10, America's number 10, the best number 10 in the world, Lionel Andres Messi.
Real family, man, practice make perfect. We can gather all the water, stay thirsty. Took a lot to get us here, we broke curses. Kill or be killed or feel so no mercy.
No, man, this is, I don't know what to make of all this.
You don't like the direction it's going in. Because I remember, you know, if you look at Beckham, obviously Beckham was like the biggest, I don't know, global name in football. The kind of the association with, I guess, the corporatism of the game. And now it's just go, could it have got even bigger than Beckham? Oh, yeah, quite easily. Look at it now. And who's going to be next?
Do you remember, like, it used to be Real Madrid that did very fancy unveilings.
Yes.
I feel like someone popped out of a pod once. I think it was, who's the,
right.
the winger? The Di Maria.
Di Maria.
I think Di Maria had a really weird unveiling where it was like Back to the Future. Like, I think he almost came, you know when Marty McFly comes out of that barn in a yellow suit and he scares that family that got a rifle and that? I think they recreated that exactly for the unveiling of Di Maria. I think they built a tiny barn, like when Zach Galifianakis interviewed Obama in the White House and like it looked like the normal Between Two Ferns set and then the walls fall off and you realise they're in the Oval Office. It was like that. If you have a look at Di Maria's unveiling ceremony, have a look at it. He's his transfer was extraordinary, or at least his unveiling was. And David Beckham, I remember. I mean, but I suppose with David Beckham, it was somewhat organic, his ascendancy to superstar status, because he's sort of really good looking and he married a pop star and he was an excellent footballer. But like, do you remember how after the sort of his little back heel on Diego Simeone in, was that 2002, that World Cup?
Was
or
it 98?
98,
I think
maybe
it was 98. 98.
They burned effigies of him.
Yeah.
Like that's a real pendular swing that he experienced there from like, is he been knighted yet? He will get knighted sooner or later, David Beckham.
Yet.
He's sort of like an almost a media untouchable. Mm. He's adored. He represents, I would say, the sort of perfect marriage of kind of commodity and excellence that and branding. You know, you can't achieve any of those things if you're not excellent, can you, really? Like, it is a sort of, like, none of it would be possible if he hadn't been such an excellent and dedicated athlete. And now, like, you know, Messi, perhaps one of the greatest geniuses to ever have played football, it's odd to see him occupy that space.
Yeah.
What remains now? What remains of the game that we are celebrating?
It's interesting as well, because I heard stories about the PSG fans that don't like Messi. They think he was disrespectful to them. I know he had that trip to, was it Qatar or Saudi? I can't remember when he like was late for training or something like that. I think they're not huge fans of him. And they had a big unveiling when he went to PSG, but it doesn't matter, does it? You can just essentially get bought by a different franchise and celebrated in a different country, and it can be even bigger and better than the one before. It's unstoppable, isn't it, this force.
Yeah, there's the ongoing abstraction from the reality of it. What's, I suppose, though, we have to remember, it ain't that long ago that Messi just had an unbelievable World Cup.
Yeah.
Where, like, his contributions were excellent. It wasn't like watching an athlete in decline experiencing a swan song. No. It was his exemplary excellence that Lionel Messi brought to that World Cup. So, and it was you that made the point that in spite of the fears about the game becoming increasingly commodified and the furore around a World Cup being held in this instance, Qatar, and human rights issues and all of that stuff, it was just a bloody good World Cup. It can sustain it. So maybe it can sustain this, but I suppose sometimes I feel like with the MLS, other than, and I don't mean to be disrespectful in particular, because I know that women's soccer and girls soccer is really big in your country, the United States, but and I know that there's a big Latin population and other, you know, sort of former European and African nation population that have the kind of care for football that we have. It still feels grafted on. Even when I see the stadium, and when I try to hold together the image of him being barely recognised in a supermarket, and the image of the sort of the pink shirt and the peculiarly lit stadium, what it feels like to me is a graft.
Yes.
A graft and a grift.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I sort of struggle to get.
It's hard, isn't it? Because you can come across as being just cynical,
right,
and I guess suggesting that it's not as important over there, or that it's not as meaningful over there. And I guess diehard fans in the United States would not be happy with, you know, that kind of analysis of it. But I know what you mean. I think it's something to do with the speed of it all. And yes, I guess the game has been growing. There was the, was it 94, the World Cup in the US, so it has been growing for
England
a while.
Didn't qualify for that World Cup.
No, we did not.
And it was on late at night, so it was a very shit World Cup, and my portable black and white in my bedroom. That's how I remember that World Cup, sort of watching it and not really being able to properly get involved in it. Oh, it's Santi Cazorla. What, when he left Arsenal to go to Villarreal?
Oh,
that is what it was. We'll have a look at that mad unveiling in a minute, but I just want to make sort of a weird political point. Like, when Cornel West talks about NATO and the contribution that NATO infringement on former Soviet territories made to this current war, whilst simultaneously acknowledging Russia's invasion, you're allowing into the political conversation a degree of complexity that ain't normally afforded it. And somehow I was going to connect that to a football. I can't remember how I was going to connect that, because the sort of image of Santi Cazorla's unveiling at Villarreal is so mad. Like, if you're listening to this as a podcast, a sort of tube that can only have come from the mind of Dr. Emmett Brown is on the screen at Villarreal's stadium. And let's have a look at the unveiling of Santi Cazorla. There's a tube, like, filled with dry ice, bearing the emblem of the club, and a man who does look like a magician. He's got a sort of a magician's haircut, I would say, and a sort of pallid complexion of a man who spent a lot of time in an attic learning close-up magic and intermittently masturbating, about to sort of practice the unveiling. Let's have a look.
Es una gran persona y entonces todo eso suma, ¿no? Y se notaba ya que la gente tenía muchas ganas de verle.
Don't like magicians.
No.
I don't like them. No disrespect if you're a magician, but when someone comes up to me and go, do you want to see a magic trick? The true answer is, fuck off.
Sure.
Right? I don't want to see a magic trick.
Yeah.
I know what it is. Like, you've just come up to me and go, I want to make you look a fool now.
Yeah,
that's what it is, isn't it? The only people I'll let do a magic trick, because someone did one when I was at community the other day, is a child. And even then, I resented it a bit.
Right. You resented the child?
A bit. Because he came up and he goes, oh, pick a card and all that. And it's like, you know, you also know what's going to happen, don't you? Well, right, yeah, you know what the card is. I did have some magic lessons.
That is the wrong attitude.
Is it to magic?
Well, to a child, I would say. Yeah.
I had magic lessons.
No, I know you did. This is the great irony with all this. Is that you look
think
at
that,
them.
What, you think it's sour grapes? You think this is sour grapes?
You look
grapes
at them in disgust and then on the side go, get me a lesson with the best magician in all of England.
I loved him, that lad. He came around my house wearing a suit. He had the vibe. You know how people have their natural age that you feel they're going to arrive at, that they're waiting to arrive at? This guy was a granddad. He was only 25 or 30, but he was just waiting to granddad out. He was wearing a suit. It was too hot for that. It was a three-piece suit, I think. It was in quite heavy fabric, almost maybe even a tweed. Taught me magic. He had a young son. He was a lovely lad, and he was a bit, what do I want to say? Do I want to say portly?
Well, he took his son to work with him.
He just had a, he did have the son there. Oh, but I just knew he had a son, and I'm just building his character and just letting you know that I'm regarding him with some compassion. Anyway, talk with him, Magic, the usual, free balls. Don't be childish.
Now listen.
Free balls, right?
Yeah.
He done that, free balls, pick a card, any card, all that stuff. The fact is Magic, there's another word for Magic, lies. Because what it is, it's some lies. Mm. I wanted to learn it for my children, really.
Right.
So they love it. They love a bit of that.
Yeah.
You know, like 10p behind the ear, or the usual.
Did you master that one, or...?
Not really.
Right.
No, I can. I learned a few of them. Anyway, like...
Why are you doing it around the office? We'd get a real kick out of all this.
All right.
You didn't know this whole time. You've been hiding all these magic tricks that you've got. You've been brilliant.
The free balls.
Well, we don't want that one. But the penny behind the ear, we're into. We'll do it to some staff members.
The penny behind the ear and the free balls are very closely connected. What it is, anyway, is that I don't like it. When I was at that restaurant in Primrose Hill the other day with my friend Ang Harrod, and like the guy comes over and goes, I can see you're having lunch. And I thought, well...
Right, that's the end of the sentence.
The end of the sentence, fuck off. Right? I go, but nevertheless, I'm going to...
bother you
with this magic and like for Instagram pictures and stuff. I'm like mate, to be honest, I'm having a bit of a chat, you know. And but then he come back later. I was like, what I said to him was my time honored lie. I'll come get you just before I'm leaving. Someone's to do that if it's someone who wants a photograph or a little kid or something like that. He come back for another bite of the cherry. He inflicted his magic on us, and his magic involved things like sort of mobile phones, and it was so intrusive. And I don't like the relationship actually of magic.
No,
because you're a dupe.
Yes,
aren't you?
Yeah,
they dupe you.
I think they also a magician. They, it's a way, you're right. You're being duped, but also they have kind of access to you that you wouldn't normally give to someone in such a short space of time. And I don't mean like in a cavity access. I just mean
if someone said to you, "Do you have a minute? I'm going to show you my penis." You'd most likely 9 times out of 10 say, "Absolutely not."
Yeah,
I'd only do it if I had some particular reason for being interested in seeing it.
Yeah, there's this lad on Instagram. I'm sure he's nice, or TikTok, or one of those things. And I see it every now and again. I'm sure he's great and everything. But the shtick is pretending to rob someone. And he goes at someone, so if someone's holding like a laptop or an iPad, and he'll go to grab it off someone, and that person immediately goes, "No, give me it back.
You're robbing me."
And then this fella like lifts up his hoodie to reveal he's this magician, and then he does a dance, and then everyone goes, "Oh." Now, I wouldn't be happy with that. I'd be the one person that'd get this whole, I don't know, montage of people reacting really well.
Oh,
and then me and you at the end who were just furious the whole way through.
I'll tell you what, I wouldn't take it.
No.
Like, I don't... Again, if you take off your hood, there's not that many people in the world that you could be that would overcome you tried to take my laptop.
No.
But actually, look at this. It's Reading.
Nevertheless.
You did try to take my laptop.
Yeah.
Sheena Easton. Give us my laptop back. Yeah. Let's have a look at Santi Carzola, you know, coming out of a test tube, like a test tube baby.
Me decían algunos que sabían que iba a aparecer, pero que les ha sorprendido igual porque no sabían cómo. Entonces,
this magician gets wearing stupid shoes.
Yeah.
Realmente ha sido muy bonito para mí. Y la gente con ganas de verle, con mucha ilusión.
So he's like, they shouldn't have bothered with him.
No.
Because he's wearing a waistcoat, he's distracting from the eventual revelation of Santi Carzola. Although I am interested how they did this, and I think it might be mirrors around that thing in the bottom.
You
on
get
the bottom.
Into
that,
it.
The tube is on a platform. The platform is apparently transparent, but I would suggest to you it's mirrors around that, and little Santi Carzola, who's only a tiny little lad anyway, isn't he?
Yeah. Well, you could probably just duck down at the bottom.
Santi Carzola could stand upright under that platform. He's a gnomish guy, wouldn't he?
Creo que va a ser una temporada muy buena para él, para la afición, y que hay una gran comunión, ¿no?, con todo esto. Yo le decía esta tarde que de todos los famosos...
You can also see that only one bit of the platform at the bottom is only one bit is reflecting the glass. Now, I'll tell you what it does as well, is magic turns me into a pedant, because, like, I'm so against their magic that I'm, like, always looking for how they're really doing it.
Yeah.
I see analogous to the way we're tricked by the mainstream media and the
very
political
nice.
Establishment.
Here we go. There it is. I want Carzola to come out wheezing and then have to miss a quarter of the season due to an asthma attack.
I'm afraid I had a terrible asthma attack because of the dry ice. Yeah. Yeah, I'd like that as well. If he came out and he mutated and he's like, he's one of of his legs and fell off.
Son muchísimos los que hemos trabajado conjuntamente de hacer aparecer o juegos de magia, que con él es muy sencillo, es muy fácil, él no pone ningún problema.
Beam down now.
Es muy sencillo, es muy simpático, es divertido.
The magician's really trying to take the credit for it.
Yeah.
He's also one of those Latin fellas with red hair. You don't get them very often, and I'm against it.
Intenta hacer las cosas fácil, o sea que yo encantado con él y me encantaría hacer algo más, o sea que seguramente en un futuro a ver si.
Nearly couldn't open the door.
It nearly went very Spinal Tap then, didn't it?
He's trapped in there. Yeah. Sorry, Fredo, Santa Corzola's trapped in it. He's only got 10 minutes of oxygen. It's like that. It's like that submarine. Santa Corzola's still trapped in a tube. Still ain't found the fucking Titanic.
Combinamos y volvemos a juntar las manos.
Also, if I can say, I don't know how well Santi Cazorla went on to do at Villarreal. But
exactly.
I would say also that he's not top drawer enough of a player.
But he isn't.
So he was good at Arsenal for a bit. He was all right.
He'd already peaked at Arsenal.
He peaked at Arsenal. He'd been injured for about 2 years. He's falling apart.
Yeah, the whole thing looks ironic.
The whole thing looks like taking a piss. We've gotten all this trouble of all this dry ice.
Might
as well
get that magician to play in midfield.
You might as well. He's got his little booties on already, his little yellow suede booties. There are some other transfers that we can look at as Jack graphic, bad graphics. Jack's done a bloody fucking graphic. Let's have a look at that then. Of where to mock West Ham's failure to sign anyone. Let's have a look. I do want Edison Alvarez.
Good as well.
I don't know much about Paulina.
He's been great at Fulham last season. He'd be a good signing.
All right. Mm. Harry Maguire?
Apparently Chelsea. I heard today Chelsea want him, so, you know.
That makes me want him a bit.
Oh,
like,
right.
I like that when other people want something, then I think, maybe I want that. That's how advertising works,
maybe I want to be a magician, after all.
Hey, being a magician's good. Like, say you see someone at an advert, they're having a Magnum,
yeah.
You think, hang on,
especially when it does that.
Oh, the crack of the fucking...
Oh, my God.
Oh, lovely that. It's not just the choc ice with a stick in it. This is a lifestyle choice, this. It's got a stick up its backside. It's a choc ice. Yeah. Go on. But it's got a stick up it. Crack through that into the Magnum. I'll have one, if you don't mind. Edison Alvarez, that's who we want.
Right.
And I also want...
Why are you so obsessed with him? You keep on banging on about him.
I don't know. I've been told he's good.
From Ajax, right?
Yeah. And I think, look, we need some... Declan leaves a big hole in the hearts of the West Ham fans. And Alvarez could be the man. We ain't getting Harvey Barnes. Has he gone to Newcastle?
It's not happened yet, but I think it is going to happen.
We've not yet seen Declan in red and white, have we?
Oh, I've seen him.
Have you? I've not been looking. All right. But Harry Maguire... I do like Harry Maguire.
Listen,
as a sort of a lad.
I have to stick up for Maguire. He was brilliant.
Why? Hull.
He was great at Hull.
Hull produced a lot of good defenders,
right.
And indeed a lot of players on their journey to a proper football club will pass through Hull.
Right.
Won't they?
Yeah.
Andy Robertson,
yep.
Hull. Jared Bowen, Hull.
Yeah.
Harry Maguire, Hull.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah,
who's
absolutely.
That other defender that I'm not thinking of?
Maguire was great.
Someone else.
I don't know.
Well, who else is a type? So Paulina's good. What is he, a wide player? He looks like a little wide player.
What is he? So
a Fulham player. I don't
what
know
would
much
it,
about him.
How would you like? As I say, he was very good at Hull, very good at Leicester. Because obviously United would not have picked that. Do you think? You just think that the experience at Man United means he can never reach those levels?
What I
again?
Think is that David Moyes is on a personal mission to rehabilitate himself from his right. Man United time, and he has this sort of extraordinary sympathy for other Man United nearly folks, and I think that's skewed David Moyes' judgment.
Right.
But what do I know? Mm. Very little is the truth when it comes to that, because those are all just things that I intuit from my belly juices. Mm.
But is he still England captain? Because would that mean you have West Ham have got the England captain? I don't know if he is anymore. Is it now Kane? Right. Yeah,
I don't think
on.
He is. And Harry Kane, I have heard on good authority, has bought a house at Wentworth Golf Club.
Ooh.
Does that mean he's more or less likely to go to Bayern Munich?
Mm.
Is that the end of Bad Graphics Jack's latest assault that he's been doing on our dime, doing on the Rumble dime? God, is that the end of the link, yeah? All right, so Jordan Henderson could be going to Etifak, is that how you say it?
Yeah, it's with Gerrard, isn't it?
Ah, oh, because where Stephen Gerrard's managing that and looking sort of like a minor dictator. Lukaku's leaving Chelsea, which he'd sort of basically already left anyway, but to go to Juve now. Harry Kane may go to Bayern Munich, and Pusilic has already gone to AC Milan.
Mm, that's right.
Mm. Do you want Harry Kane to go to Bayern Munich or not?
Well, I wanted him to go to Real, But apparently Mbappe, they're going to pay like 800 million for Mbappe or something mad. That was something rumoured anyway last week. So it looks like Kane will be going to Bayern.
Is he definitely going to leave?
No, it's not definite, no.
Why has he bought that house on a golf course for?
I don't know. It's intriguing.
It is, isn't it? It is intriguing. And why has David De Gea, yeah, Gareth Roy lookalike, left Manchester United? I think it's after West Ham got that soft goal, yeah, against him. That was the end of De Gea.
You
of course,
did
he can't play
it
from
the
back.
Time.
Said at the time, goes right into the wall, he's out.
Mm.
He'll never play again. This geezer used to play for Inter Milan, did he, mate?
Yeah.
I don't know him.
No, he's very technically very good, but as you say, he's he can play from the back. So it's,
is anyone going to get that Napoli forward?
Osimhen,
20-year-old, yeah,
he's incredible. But I think Napoli have said it'll cost the earth for him
leaving. All right, now here's something significant. Mike Dean is going to be on the referee Mike Dean is going to be joining Soccer Saturday for match official insights. But Mike Dean is much loathed by West Ham fans for a series of poor decisions accumulating over the years. Here is a clip of him hating bubbles, which are the emblem and icon of West Ham United Football Club, along with the Hammers, of course. Let's have a look at that. How can you hate a bubble? Mm. A bubble is a miracle. A bubble is an aerodynamic miracle. It's a miracle. It brings fun. Everyone everywhere loves bubbles.
I'm always really, when I see West Ham, when we've gone before, I'm always really jealous of that bit, because I think
it's
so amazing that you can come
bubbles,
out to that. It's incredible.
There's a song, there are actual bubbles.
I mean, it's got
fantastic,
everything you need.
Yeah, Harry Maguire.
We've
got that great big lovely cupboard playing at the heart of our defence. Yeah, what's this Mark Dean doing here?
This was a Tranmere game, I think, wasn't it? Because he's a big Tranmere fan, and he was still a referee at the time when this was recorded. And everyone thought this is a bit mad, but
He should be neutral. It's an unrealistic expectation that match officials will be.
Yeah.
Neutral outside of the role.
Of course.
I am still not over referees not wearing black anymore.
Right.
Things I've not let go of that I should have let go of.
Yeah.
Referees not wearing black, numbers not being 1 to 11, like in the football, like, you know, I've not let go of that.
No, magic.
Magic is an acceptable hobby and profession for people.
Yeah.
All things I'm just sort of like foolishly clinging on to, resisting against the relentless tide of time. The referee's garment is to separate them from ordinary society in the same way as the robes of the judiciary.
Mm.
And in our country, the wig is like, well, this guy. And then in the case of an execution, the black cap. Isn't that amazing that they put on a black cap? Like, isn't it weird that it shows you that in spite of our poise and pose of rationalism, we're still sort of deeply superstitious characters that know that we're dealing with mystery.
Mm.
When, like, if there was an execution in our country, you can only be executed for treason now.
You have
to have betrayed a majesty or a majesty's, oh, sorry, his majesty's government. You would be executed, and on top of that, so the judge has got so many things on their head at that point. They've got their actual head,
yeah,
their actual hair. I mean, that's just normal everyday life.
We've all got that.
Everyone's got that. That's so far so good. Then the wig, great big stupid wig made out of horsehair, at least called horsehair. And then in the case of an execution, the black cap.
Wow.
They're like a Knickerbocker glory. And then the next thing they're going to say, with all that stuff, might as well put a cherry on the top, is, we're going to kill you. We're going to have to kill you, which is an odd thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
So Mike Dean, you can't expect that when he's not robed in the accoutrement of the referee, that he'll be anything other than a passionate Tranmere fan. Let's listen to and regard his passion for Tranny. If you're listening to this, what I would say is he did a lot of gestures that make you think. One time, a man told me, he's a photographer, that he was on his boat, his houseboat that he lived on, and he was attacked by pirates. And he could see the pirates coming over the horizon, he said. Well, not the horizon, the distance, you know. I don't know where the horizon was. It's difficult to locate. It's actually a matter of perspective. Anyway, these pirates were drawing closer, and he said he was scared. He was a photographer on a film set I was working on. He said his girlfriend and him was alone on the boat. The pirates were coming. They knew there was pirates. said,
"You're not thinking of the film Pirates of the Caribbean, are you?" Because that's the film.
This is Captain Phillips you're talking about.
Okay, right.
It's not Captain Phillips. Especially, I'm going to make it very clear that it's not because of what I'm about to tell you.
Okay, sorry.
The pirates are coming over the horizon. He went downstairs, did this fella, and he said, of the on-set photographer, he said he stimulated his penis to a point of an erection.
Wow.
Because it was to nakedly meet the pirates. And he said he stood there with a bayonet, an erection, and stood on his boat going, "Ah! Ah!" And sure enough, the pirates took him at his word and did a U-turn and about farce and left.
Wow.
They weren't ready for a man with a machete and an erection. Now, we've just told a story that, let's face it, by any reckoning, was unusual and strange and hopefully subject to some minor cuts. But now we have to decide whether to show an emotional Dele Alli interview where he admits to sadly being abused as a younger, well, as a child. So I think we're going to rule that out. There's the Women's World Cup photo where they're wearing raincoats. For some reason, I think that's wrong as well, because raincoats, women's football, I don't know. Then the final one is three pros versus 100 kids. Now, while superficially that would also sound like a dangerous segue, it's the one I feel most comfortable going for.
Oddly.
Because even those of you that are listening to this as audio, if you haven't seen it, it's amazing. Because, like, you do... I'd never seen this before, but I understand this is something that's sort of commonly understood and has even been plagiarised.
James Corden did it, didn't he?
Did he acknowledge the plagiarism?
I'm not sure.
Okay. So, let's have a look at this moment. This is very good. In Japan, they got three adult footballers to play against 100 children. Now, I'll urge you to... We'll post this clip. I urge you to have a look at it because it's sort of joyful. And it, to me, Gareth, looks like something being observed under a microscope, like bacteria, like seeing a tiny louse fighting some, I don't know, little like aquatic bacteria. Just like the way they're moving around on a lens. Let's have a look. Here's some commentary. The pros are winning. The pros are able to maintain possession, and the children are ineffectively running around. Pros are using the space brilliantly, making the ball do the work. The children, predictably, are running around after the ball, like children always do. And it's like one of those cliches, but when I took my little girl to play football at that place where I go all the time, Game in Reading, I went there twice, but it was in 2 days, so it was a really intense period of going there. All the children did do that. They did do that. And I almost feel like I say, look, I may not know much about football, but I do know this. Hold your position and play between the lines. You lot sit back for God's sake and look for space. You
started coaching is what happened there.
I've gone straight to coaching. Maybe I can be sort of like a Mourinho type coach.
Sure.
I'll be honest, I may not have achieved much at the top levels of the professional game. Mm. I may as yet be undecorated as a pro, not winning any major gongs.
Wasn't he a translator for Bobby Robson?
Yeah, can you imagine those two? Because Bobby Robson's the lovely... Like, I watched a compilation of Ronaldo goals the other day, like, Ronaldo, Brazil Ronaldo, and when Bobby Robson was managing Barcelona, Ronaldo scores this goal, like, and Bobby Robson's reaction, it's so sort of beautiful that someone enjoys football. Like, he's so old, and like, he's like, oh, fucking hell! He's like amazed by it. It's sort of really a joy to watch someone like
from like a fan's perspective kind of thing.
But you're
the manager.
It's really brilliant. It's really brilliant to see. Because that's, well, I suppose that's what he bought, isn't it? There are many different ways of leading. Mm. Bobby Robson, evidently, from everyone who knew him, played for him. Because I remember I did that thing with Alan Brazil recently.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Like Bobby Robson's almost like a sort of a panacea for wellness. Like, if you start talking about him, people will start feeling all right.
Right.
Sort of like Jesus.
Very similar.
In fact, Jesus is sometimes more contentious. Because some people are like, I don't want to talk about Jesus. Like, I had some bad experiences in the church. Oh, yeah, but that's not the figure of Christ. I understand there's been problems with the church, the figure of Christ. Think of him more as like Bobby Robson.
Exactly.
Like a lovely father figure who you 100% know you can trust. He's lovely, he's reliable, he's just there for you, wants to protect you, wants you to do well.
Mm, you took Newcastle to fifth position.
Could Jesus have done that? I wonder. Maybe Jesus could have finally got Newcastle the title they deserve, but now, you know, stealing Harvey Barnes from right under West Ham's noses, maybe Newcastle will win. Who's going to win the league? City, always, I mean, forever, until we're all dead.
Yeah.
Until we're all
dead. Until Pep leaves and goes to manage England, apparently. That's
Will
the new rumour.
That?
It's never going to happen, is it?
They said that about Mourinho. They what did. Happens is, our way of coping with there being charismatic, sexy foreign managers is to go, they'll come and manage England one day and everything's going to be okay. And then they don't do that.
No.
Because Mourinho said he was going to do it.
Yeah.
And like, who's England management now? That is the sort of appointment, because you do, with England managers, you always go different.
Yes.
Like, I don't know, some people do this with girlfriends. If you have a girlfriend that's of a particular flavour and hue, or boyfriend, I don't care what you do, because this is actually about football managers, you always go for a very different one next. If you're dating Gareth Southgate, what's the next natural step? Pep.
Yes.
Go for Pep. You've gone for English, sort of understated. Now go for a sort of a Svengali with a glint in his eye, a single-minded, potent Catalan figure. Mm. That's what you want, isn't it? Bit of spice.
Be interesting.
It won't happen though, will it? Anyway, let's have a look at these little Japanese kids chasing adults around a football pitch and think about how far we've come as a species. I actually think he was offside. Oh no, he's not offside because there's 100 kids playing in the back line. I was saying, no, like, I thought they were all at the halfway line, but no, there's another 100 children, and then there's about 15 kids in goal, aren't there?
Yeah.
Oh, that's like the way that the world is governed. Innocent children running around while the elite establishment just gently knock power about, just out of our reach. We're all running around going, oh, what should we do about trans issues? Oh no, what are we going to do about this film? It's a controversial new film out. And they just go, anyway, we're passing this new legislation that means we're going to be able to censor all of your day. Oh, bloody hell, oh, what's going on? Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah?
I like that. I like it.
Thank you so much for joining us today, because we're going to take a short break now from Football Is Nice, are we?
We are.
Because we got. I'm going on paternity leave to have a baby.
Of course, yeah. We're not going to do I trust we're not going to do it whilst you're in the hospital.
Can't. You got to focus.
I mean, for loads of different reasons. One, I don't think I'll be allowed in.
I think so.
Just the father, even.
If I say, can my mate come in, we do a podcast about football that no one's asked for. They might say, not now, Mr. Brand. Mm. Focus on this birth of this child. So once I've come back from paternity leave, we'll come back for our predictions for the new season, who's going to win, what signings are going to happen, and all sorts of stuff. Thank you very much for joining us for football. Like, the world's complicated and all that, but football is nice, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Football is nice. Yeah.